Ready to roll. All right, back in the Rambam Hilchos Shavuos Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Ches. Last time we met, the Rambam discussed different types of what is called Shavuos HaDayonim, which deals with the three primary biblical oaths that the Torah says that exists. And of course, we all remember the acronym Shema. Remember, we said Shema stands for the three oaths. The oath of a Shomer is a biblical oath. Mem is Mode B'Mikzas. And the Ayin is Eid Echad, who contradicts and makes them swear. Those are the three biblical oaths. Some are going against a Vadai claim. And some are going against a Safe claim. And then they mention there are rabbinic oaths, four rabbinic oaths that are also called Shavuos HaDayonim, that some are with a definite claim and a suffix claim. Let's say a worker said, "You didn't pay me," so that the oath that he makes the claim and he collects. Or if the guy has a shtar, he's out to collect, but he says, "Oh, I agree that you paid part of it off." Or those are vadai, and then you have suffakes. Let's say a shutuf, a partner, a sharecropper can force oaths, things like that. So those are called Shavuos HaDayonim, the three biblical ones and the four rabbinic ones. And then we said there's one that's called, this is a takana from the Chachmei HaGemara, and that's called the Shavuos Heses. And that's not called the Shavuos HaDayonim, where there's just a complete denial of anything. I deny totally, and there's no other proof, but we make him make an oath to satisfy the other guy. So again, there were eight oaths in general that were discussed. Three are biblical, four are rabbinic. They're both considered under the category Shavuos HaDayonim. The three biblical, four rabbinic, and then we call the next one the Shavuos Heses, which is not even called a Shavuos HaDayonim. Okay, now that we have that, we move on with different rules. Ches. And the first rule is, do you have to hold a holy object when you're making the oath? So, Loch Ches, Shavuos HaDayonim, to any one of the ones that are called the judicial oaths, Shavuos HaDayonim, those first seven that we described, Bein Shoyesh Shel Torah, doesn't matter if it's the biblical oaths, O Divrei Sofrim, Shel Rishon, the rabbinic oaths, Bein Shel Tainus Vadai, doesn't matter if the claim was a certain claim, Bein Al Tainus Sofek, or if it's a doubtful claim. Kahi, this is how you do it. Number one, Hanishba, the one making the oath, Oche Sefer Torah Bizroa. He holds a Sefer Torah in his arms. Okay, it needs what we call a Nikitas Chafetz. You have to hold on to an holy object. Where do we learn that from originally biblically? Avram, when he made Eliezer swear by holding on to his bris milah. And Rashi says he told him to hold on to an object of mitzvah. And the milah was the first mitzvah that came to him through pain, so it was precious to him. So we see from here you have to do that. So that's point number one. You hold a Torah. Number two, v'ha'omed. He stands when he makes the oath. Vinishba, and he swears b'shem, using Hashem's name, the unique name, or b'kinur, any of the nicknames, b'shvua, if he's making an oath, or b'ola, or he makes an oath that's the form of a curse in case he's lying, whether it's mipiv that he says it straight out, or mipi adayonim, or the judges are having him make the oath. And that's the number of things you have to have for Shavuos HaDayonim. V'horu Rabbo Sai, and our rabbis, my Rebbe ruled, and he's referring to the Rev Yosei Levi Ibn Migash, the Remigash, who's the Rebbe, the Rambam. He says, She'ein mashbim Shavuos HaDayonim ella bilshon HaKodesh. Shavuos HaDayonim are made only in the Hebrew language, which is opposed to, if you recall, Shavuos Eidus, or Shavuos Eidus can be done in any other language. Remember, the Rambam says this is different. We will see the Rambam, we're not finished with that point. We'll look later on Halacha Yadal. The Rambam is going to disagree with that. But anyway, so that's so now in so this is the way you make the oath for the Shvuas Hadayanim. However, 1 second. Yeah. So now, Tess wants to know. So in this last law, it says whether he makes the oath, whether the Besen makes him make the oath. So Tess will discuss his initiated oath, and you discuss how the Besen makes him make the oath. Kate said, "Mipiv, what does it mean? Comes out of his mouth." Kiyom Shomer, for example, he says, "Hareini nishba b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. I swear by Hashem, the God of Israel, or any other one of those other forms of referring to Hashem, obimi, or I swear by the one who Shishmo Chanu, that his name is the one of shows favor, obimi Shishmo Rachum, or the one whose name is Rachum. I swear what she'eni chayev l'zekum. I don't know the guy anything." Or he says a different type of lasha. Harei hu, this fellow, referring to himself, should be or Lashem, should be cursed Hashem. Or lemisha shmo chanun, he should be cursed to the one whose name is chanun. Im yesh lozeh sikum, if I have by that guy, by me anything, I should be cursed. So that's him initiating the oath. Yud v'keitzet mipiyat dayanim. What does it mean that dayanim initiate the oath? Kon she'amr lo, where they said to him, mashpim ono elscha, we are adjuring you to make an oath. To say yes, by what? By Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by Hashem the God of Israel, or by what name? B'misha Shmo Chanun, one whose name is Chanun, She'ein Lozeh B'yarchukum, that you swear that you don't have in your hands anything of this guy. And what does he do? Who own? And he says, Amen. That's it. You say Amen after Shavuos like you made it. Oshomer, they say the other thing. Harei Ploni Ben Ploni, that's so-and-so and so-and-so, meaning you, or Lashem Lokesh will be cursed to the God of Israel, or Lamisha Shmo Chanun, or to the one whose name is Chanun, im yesh laploni et slomamun, if you have this other guy's money, velo yodel, you don't admit to him. And vehu on, and he answers, Amen.
We learned that those...
Suhi Shvias Adam, this is the Shvua of the Dayanim. That's what we learn in the Talmud.
We learned before that those secondary names of Hashem, like Chanun,
what about it?
Well, we say that even you don't have to put that in Seamus even. It's not holy. It
doesn't matter, but this is the kind of oath that's over here, though. If you want to be over the oath, it's two different laws. The law of Seamus is the law of swearing by Hashem's name. It's two different laws.
Well, why would they,
you don't bury words.
Why would they insist on the real...
Because the holiness in text, to throw it in the garbage, is different than saying than swearing by Hashem's name.
But why wouldn't they use his real name in the oath?
You don't have to. You're swearing by Hashem, or any nickname by Hashem. That swearing by Hashem is one thing. Discarding things have to have a higher level of kedusha. Now, let's say now. So now we're going to go through some of the clauses. We mentioned a number of conditions. We said you got to hold on to a sefer Torah. You got to be standing. You got to use the names of Hashem. So what happens if you don't? Yudalf, Hadayonim Shishbiu below Nikitas Chavis. What if the judges make him swear and he ain't hold, but he doesn't hold on to a Torah object?
He refuses?
He just didn't. No, whatever. They forgot. They just didn't do it. They forgot to do it. They've made a mistake, a blunder. And even though he swore with Hashem's name and everything, it's like nothing happened.
Just to redo it?
V'chozer v'nishba v'sefer Torah. He has to repeat and swear with a sefer Torah in his hand because the whole thing was done incorrectly. It's like he did nothing.
And then he said Hashem's name in vain, too.
Maybe he'll have to say Baruch Shem Kavod. I don't know about that, but it's like nothing happened. However, what if he didn't hold a sefer Torah, but he held another holy object? V'imochas tefillin b'yod v'shba. What if he held a pair of tefillin and he made an oath? You don't have to redo it. In other words, b'diyeved, it's okay. Why? Because sharei ochas torbiyot. He was holding a portion of the Torah in his hand because that's three sections of the Torah in it. Or a tefillin has more. Four.
Ukamo
sefer hein. It's like a sefer, so it's close enough.
Because we learned it from the generic from Abraham, so it seemed like any holy object.
Well, it's no, here he's saying, that's just initially because we didn't have sefer Torah to hold on. Yeah, okay. Now, what if he spiel miyushov? What if they made him swear and he was sitting? Ain't no chosim. You don't have to go back. Now, Yud Beis tells a general rule about the sitting and standing. Talmud Chacham who has to swear, lechatchil even initially, mashbina som yishuv, they make him swear sitting down in honor of the Talmud Chacham. Utfilin biyado, and he can, and it's enough if he only has tefillin in his hand. Vein tzarch litol sefer Torah, doesn't have to take a sefer Torah. El tefillin b'chapo, b'chapo chayfetz hu, but rather tefillin in his hand is like an object. V'nishba b'lashon hakodesh, and he makes the oath in the Hebrew language, as we brought beforehand. Now this is all shvuas hadayonim, those first two categories of oaths. Yud Gimel, we go now to the Shavuos Heses, which is a lower category. Ein bein Shavuos Heses or Shavuos Adiyonim. There's no difference in Shavuos Heses and Shavuos Adiyonim in everything that we mentioned except for one thing. They both got to stand. You got to say Hashem's name. The difference is Elin Nikita Schefetz. Shavuos Heses does not have to hold on to a holy object. Sheina Nishba Shavuos Heses Oche Sefer Torah. You make a Shavuos Heses, you do not have to hold on to Sefer Torah. Elo Mashpina So B'Shem L'Chinu, you make him swear with Hashem's name or a nickname. B'Shvua, either the positive Shvua or B'Olo, the curse. Mipiv, either comes out of his mouth. Or Mipi Bezin, or the Bezin says, and he says, Amen. K'mosho Zom Yaz Shavuos Adayonim. Now!
You get this right at the very beginning with damages, right? Or when you have to hold the Sefer Torah, when you don't. When we first started the Rambam, where did it come
out?
It
has to be these types of oaths. Yeah. Ukvar Nogo Hakol. Now, even though you don't have to hold a Sefer Torah by Shavuos Heses, the custom is your Sefer Torah biyad chazan, haknesis. The Sefer, still the Shamish in the Bezdin holds a Sefer Torah. Osharim, somebody else in the people, Eshem Ashpir and Shavuos Heses, Kedayim Alav, when the guy even makes a Shavuos Heses, in order to put some fear into the fellow. Now, I did skip an important footnote. Going back a little bit, when we said that that to make these oaths, all this business of oaths, so the commentaries say the Rambam is quoting everything in the times of the Talmud, but the Gaonim already, in later generations after the Talmud, they made a rule, we don't make people swear by Hashem's name, period. We just don't do it anymore. Mm. From the times of the Gaonim, not even with a nickname of Hashem. Why? As we'll see. So the world should not be destroyed because of the sinners who swear falsely. Okay? It seemed that people were just swearing falsely all the time, left and right. And the rabbi said, what's the point? People are just going to lie anyway. You know, when they felt people were really legitimately scared, it was very rare that a guy would lie. Okay, once in a while a guy will lie, but most people wouldn't. But as time passes, people are just lying all the time. So what are we causing people to swear? So this fell into disuse, as it were, to swear by Hashem's name with all that business. That's
right. Still hold the Sefer Torah.
Yeah, from, it's like putting a stumbling block.
Yeah, before this is already from the times of the Gaonim.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's swearing by Hashem's name. You could make other types of oaths, but not by saying Hashem's name. But they got rid of that. So I just wanted to not forget that. Okay, where did I go now? I'm on Yud Dalet. Now, this refers back to Halacha Ches. Remember, Halacha Ches says, he says, my Rebbe says when we make them swear, they have to swear in Hebrew. So now Rambam is going to disagree with that. Yud Dalet, Hadayonim shehishpiu esanish b'b'chol loshen shumakir, judges who make the guy swear in any language that he understands, harezu k'mitzvasa, this is the way the din should be, lichat chila. Not like it's quoted before. V'chein hora ha-ga'onim, and the ga'onim have paskin that way, but not like my Rebbe. Aval rabo senor, but my Rebbe, the Ibn Begat Megash, right, says, she'ein mashmir al-vashor, you don't do it in Hebrew. And Al-Ram says, ve'ein roi lismuch al-rozu. It's not fitting to rely on my Rebbe's opinion in this area. Why? Because there's a Tosefta that categorically says that Shavuos Hadayonim is done in any language that you understand, and the Ramban says, and here the Re Ibn Megash HaLevi made an error. Ramban, so Ramban saying that too. So he's saying not to do this, don't rely on this. V'yafal pi shenog b'chol batim l'shabos, even though you see many courts have the custom to make the guy swear in Hebrew. Why? Because they want to put more fear in him. Because the Hebrew language itself has a certain kedushin that they do that. But guess what? If you're going to do that, or even if you're going to do it, which I'm saying you shouldn't be doing it, Because remember, you got to know what you're saying, and that's important.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know what Hebrew means. Therefore, tzarech lohodi al nishba. If you're going to make him say it in Hebrew, you got to inform the guy making the oath that he knows what he's saying, ashei makir lashon, until he recognizes and knows what he's saying, even though he's saying it in Hebrew. Shish, why? Because we have to, at the end of the day, have to remember, let's go back to halachas we had before. Because all these shvus hadayonim, what are they really? They're really nothing less than a shvus hapikadon. Remember, shvus hapikadon, when the guy makes an oath denying he owes somebody money for any reason whatsoever. And he says, shvus hadayonim, because actually shvus hadayonim, he shvus hapikadon matzva. It's no different than a shvus pikadon, where you're denying that you owe somebody money. And the afshuas has, and therefore, which has to be done in language. You have to know what you're denying. You know what you're denying. The afshuas heses, even shuas heses. No, they did the custom to make him do it in Hebrew, even though it's not as strict as shuas hadayanim. And again, I disagree with that, says the Rambam, and they really should be doing it in the language that they understand. Okay, now, Tesvav, we'll get to a very interesting distinction. Between, remember, some of the claims are Vadai claims, and some of them are Suffolk claims, remember? So let's say you say to the guardian says it's lost, I lost it, and I'm a Shomer Chimer of the pay. Well, swear to it. Now, the claimant doesn't know for sure that he's lying, he said just swear it, right? Remember, so sometimes we make these oaths because there's a doubtful claim, but sometimes there's a certain claim. Now, what's the difference, the fundamental difference? If the claimant says, I know for sure you owe me $200 and I want you to give me the money, right? And the guy says, well, I only own you half, and I'll pay the other half, right? So now you're paying half. That's a biblical oath. That shows the other. But what do we know for sure is happening over here? One guy's lying. Because the guy's saying, you owe me 200 for sure.
Certainty.
And the guy says, no, I agree, I owe you 100, but 100 I don't owe you. Right. So one guy is a liar at the end. Even though the claimant doesn't have to swear, the defendant is swearing. So there, whenever we're dealing with a certain claim, and the guy is swearing, we know, even though somebody's swearing, we know there's a rat in the room. One guy is lying. Either the guy who's swearing is lying, or the guy who made the claim is lying. Now, what's so problematic about that? Either way, let's think about this for a minute. Okay, if we know one guy's lying, is either guy so innocent? What do I mean to say? Well, let's spin it both ways. If the guy swearing is lying, so that's terrible. He said Hashem's name in vain. If the claimant is lying, he's causing the defendant to swear by Hashem's name for no reason. Because if he wouldn't have lied on the claim, the guy wouldn't have had to swear to defend himself. So even though the guy is swearing truthfully, but you're causing God's name to be mentioned sort of in vain, because he wouldn't have made the false claim, right? The guy wouldn't have to swear. We're just trying to bring out that when there's a certain claim, that we're going to see why this next halacha is going to come out of this. But you know somebody's lying, and this should not be happening. On the other hand, when we're dealing with a suffix claim, where the owner of the object who gave him to watch, he says, listen, I don't know what happened. You're supposed to give it back to me. You're claiming it got stolen. You're a shomer chinam. I'm going to make you make an oath. Not that I'm saying you're a liar, but you're supposed to return it back to me. And you only can get out of it by being putter, by swearing that you should be putter. So now there doesn't have to be any liars here. So because of that, so there's going to be a difference as to when the Bezdin tries to scare, intimidate the guy making the oath or not. In other words, when it's for sure there is a liar in the room, the Bezdin's going to really intimidate the guy who's swearing to really let him know it's a really bad thing to make a false oath. When it's a question of a doubtful claim, and there may not be any liars in the room at all, we don't have to intimidate the fellow because it could very well be that everything's fine and dandy. There's nothing much more we could do anyway. And that's what Halacha Tesvav is going to tell us over here. Komi shi yischai yeshus ha'etayonim shehi al yedei tanas vadai. Anyone who's obligated to make one of these judicial oaths that's been promulgated by a claim of certainty, ukvira, and it's followed up by a denial. So, bein shayis b'divrei Torah, it doesn't matter if it's a rabbinic judicial oath, bein shayis b'divrei or rabbinic judicial oath, in either case, me'aymim, we, what did I say, intimidate the guy, we get him to get scared, that to make sure, you know, we're going to see in the next halacha what we say to him. So they were trying to scare the pants off him so he shouldn't lie, because we know somebody's lying over here. We don't want, you want either the guy who's swearing to back off or the claimant to back off. Remember, the claimant can back off. The claimant knows if he's lying or not. Mm-hmm. Let's say the claimant says, you know, it's like a poker game a little bit. Yeah. The claimant says, you know, I'll lie, because remember, he's not swearing. We don't make the claimant swear. So we say, listen, I'll lie, so I lied, you know. Meet for a shekel tircho. Okay, it's a drop point, it's a laugh.
Money's
okay,
money.
You know, but but you know, maybe he's such a frum guy, he won't want to swear, and I'll get my money, right? But the guy is not so frum. I mean, he's normal. He's saying, I'm going to swear, I don't want to pay. So now you forced him to swear. When the Besdin is saying, you know, you got to be careful. You know, it's a terrible thing to make a false oath. Well, that may also cause the claimant to back off and say, okay, I'll let it go. He'll say, why should I make him make a false oath? So in other words, but when it's a doubtful claim, then the Besdin field doesn't have to necessarily be a liar.
What about the fact that people are pretty fallible when it comes to memory? So guy remembers it the way.
If you're not sure,
if they're sure, you know, guy remembers it this way. You're sure.
If you're sure, or you're sure.
Yeah, but they're fallible.
Then you're not sure.
You could have an argument with both people.
Are you sure or are you not sure?
Well, you know what?
Someone's going to have to swear by Hashem's name, and that's serious business.
You can have two honest people have a...
You know what? You're not. When you're going to have to swear by God's name, and you know you may have a faulty memory, these people on all these congressional hearings, they go, to the best of my recollection. That's a great way out. And then when you're a liar, well, I guess I didn't recall it so well. It's not good enough when you're invoking Hashem's name. Or say, you know what? You think you're confident, but you know I could be wrong. Well, then don't swear by Hashem's name if you think you could be wrong. Okay, you're dealing with dynamite. You're going to see the punishments that come. You're going to see, and I don't know if today or tomorrow, terrible punishments come if you swear falsely. So now, Howard, if I could have maybe 2% forgot, will you want to run the risk of having your children die because of it? And other terrible things? That you're only going to swear if you're absolutely sure. Right?
Paul said, God forbid.
Okay. I'm just saying, God forbid. But I'm saying this is not a game over here like in Congress where the worst is you get perjury and they fine you a couple bucks. Or put you in jail for a year. Whatever. It's not the same thing. You're dealing with horrific consequences that we will see. And Besdin's going to spell it out. So when you know somebody for sure is... bad memory, okay, which really means he's lying. You have to remember, bad memory, a.k.a. equals lying. Because when you're saying, I do not owe you the money, oh, my memory wasn't so good, so it still makes you a liar. A liar by any other name is still called a liar, right? If you're saying, you didn't pay me and he actually did pay you and I just forgot. Well, if you know you got a bad memory or you're not sure about you don't go start swearing Hashem's name or force a guy to swear based on your faulty memory. So therefore,
So that rabbi with the money in his safer was a liar?
Well, no, they didn't swear.
No, but...
You see, the guy backed off and didn't swear. And it could be maybe the rabbi would have, at the end of the day, not made him swear. But you see, in that story, the guy said, I'm not going to swear. Mm-hmm. Right? I think he didn't swear, right? He didn't swear and he paid again?
Can't remember.
How did the story go?
To the best of my memory.
Found it years later.
No, I think he said he didn't want to swear and he paid the money.
Yeah. Then he found
he
it.
Paid a, he paid a second time. And then the Rashash found the money. Okay, but you see the guy didn't want to swear. And maybe if the guy would have been ready to swear, maybe the Rashash would have backed off and held him back. But that's what happens. But that's different because that swearing was not by Hashem's name. That's not the same type of oath nowadays, not with Hashem's name. All right, so where am I up to now? So my Iman Olav. So we intimidate him. Kimoshra asked, we explain Allah Tazayin. But if the oath is only coming out of a doubtful claim to begin with, like we said with the Shomer, regardless if it's a Torah oath, it's a rabbinical oath, you don't have to intimidate the person because we know there is no for sure liar. Could be everyone's telling the truth. And if you make an oath and it's no lie, there's nothing wrong with it. Right? But if you know one of the two is a liar, there's a 50% chance the guy making the oath is lying. And again, the guy forcing the oath is causing the guy to lie. So they're both not tzaddikim. But if the oath will be doesn't have to be a lie, then we don't have to intimidate in that situation. Let's just, whoa, we got a minute. Let's just start Tezai. We won't finish it. The Kate said, Maimel Mishba, how do we intimidate the guy making the oath? Ormila, we say, number one, Haviyodei, you should know, Shekola Olam Kula Nizna Zeya, the entire world shook and trembled. Vishaw Shamar Kaddish Baruch Hu, when Hashem said to Moshe, Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokech L'Shav, the third commandment, don't say God, say Mavim. The whole world trembled, number one. Number two, V'chol Aver Shebet Torah, every Aver in the entire Torah, Nemar Bahen, it says about all Averis, Vinake, Hashem will eventually clean out the sin. For every Avera, the 13 Yud Gilmidas, Vinake. But Vekan Nemer, but in this Pasuk, it says the third commandment, Lo Yinake, Hashem will not clean out someone who swears by Hashem's name in vain. It doesn't get cleaned out. All right? We'll stop at that scary point, and we'll continue to scare you tomorrow.